Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. Thank you for joining us for the next half hour right here on the Refresh radio program. We pray that you are having a wonderful day. Merritt is a church that is blessed to be a blessing. And so we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to our church. We want to be a blessing to our community. We want to be a blessing spiritually and relationally. We want to be a blessing in as many ways as we possibly can be. And if you do not have a church home, we would be honored if you chose to visit with us to see if Merritt Assembly of God might be the place that God has picked out for you. On yesterday's program, I was talking about that God has a plan for your life. When we moved to Florida, my sales job is what brought us to Florida. My company said, hey, we want you to move to Melbourne. I said, Australia? And they said, no, Melbourne, Florida. I said, didn't know there was a Melbourne, Florida. And so they brought me here. And when we said yes to coming after a night of praying, we prayed this, God, we believe that this is a door that you've opened. So we're saying yes, but God, you've called us into ministry. And so we're going to need you to open up a door of ministry. And when we came, we didn't know a single person, didn't know anybody's name except for the guy that I was supposed to report to. And we came here, and doors that we thought were doors that God was open, he didn't open. Doors we thought that he would close, those are the doors that he's open. And so I can tell you that you need to trust God's plan. That kind of falls in line with what we were sharing yesterday. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. Wyrick Air has been servicing Brevard County for getting close to 50 years now. They service the entire county. They go from, I know that they've done work all the way down in Barefoot Bay. They do work up to the north end of the county as well. They provide professional sales, services, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields. Now, sales, services, and repairs, that's the array of things that they do things in, or that they do. It's not necessarily the order of things. So if you call them for an air conditioning repair, which may be possible during the dog days of summer here, they're not going to try and sell you something unless you need it. And so we've had them do both. We've had them repair things, and we've had them say, you know what, you need to replace this unit. And so they're going to provide you with the counsel and the wisdom that is going to be best in your situation. They work in residential settings. They also do some light commercial settings, such as Merritt Assembly of God. They even provide emergency service when necessary. That's why one of the reasons why we have a relationship with them is because, you know, whenever we have a problem, they get to us as quickly as they possibly can. They strive to provide you with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Their number, should you decide to reach out to them, is 321-632-9538. Dennis and his team do a great job. He pastors a church here in Central Florida, and they do a great job and represent Jesus well, and they're a blessing to the body of Christ. So let's go back to Mark chapter 8 today. We're going to begin reading in verse number 31. I don't know that I will read all the way down to the end of the chapter. I may just read down through verse number 33 and see how that goes as far as time today. Verse number 31 of Mark chapter 8 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" One of the things that makes the Bible different from many other ancient books is that the Bible shares the good, the bad, the ugly, and the redeemed. And so where a lot of other ancient documents are sanitized to make a person look perfect when they were extremely flawed, in Matthew chapter 16, which is one of the accounts of this, you can see Jesus praising Peter for the revelation that the Father has given to him, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the same chapter, just a few verses later, he rebukes him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to have lived in such a time that not everybody's going to be studying about the flaws of Bob. There are many flaws. There have been many low spots, and but there have also been some great spots. There's been some wonderful answers to prayer and wonderful times around God's altar and in God's presence. And so if you are looking for perfect people, you're going to have to wait for heaven to see that, but make sure you go to heaven, because that's the only place you're ever going to see them. So yesterday we talked about that Jesus was teaching the disciples about the plan that God had for him, for Jesus, that he taught them about rejection. And here in this passage, we also see that he teaches them about dying. It says, "and be killed." The cross was not a surprise to Jesus. It was the plan. It was the plan of redemption. It is the greatest spiritual transaction that has ever taken place in the history of humanity, where Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, gave his life so that the sins of the entire world from every time period could be washed away. Where the worthless could become priceless. You see, your worth is not determined by how much you think of yourself, but how much someone is willing to give for that. And your worth was determined by the fact that Jesus was willing to give his life. So, there's going to come a time in the landscape of God's end times scenario where there are going to be even more people who are killed for the sake of Christ, killed because they are believers, We see people around the world now who are put in prison because they pray. We see people who are put in prison because they share faith with other people. There are people who are killed in some countries simply because they are Christians. There have been more martyrs in recent history than in all of ancient history. This is not something that is going, if anything, it will pick up in the end times, because the Bible says that people will become drunk on the blood of the saints. So when you and I look at the things that are going on in a sociological standpoint, you can see that when people have lost the value of life, that it impairs their thought process. It impairs their actions. And so later on this year, there's going to be a ballot measure that is going to devalue life. And there are people who are extremely motivated to want to continue to be able to have the privilege of eliminating a life that God wanted born, but these people have decided that they don't want it to live. So don't ever become mentally or emotionally impaired because you no longer value people's lives that were created in the image of God. So that's all I'm going to say about that subject right now. So I could talk a lot about, you know, killing and things like that, but I also want to talk about dying. Now, all of us every day are getting closer to that promotion into eternity. We spend a lot of our time and a lot of our focus trying to help people to live the life worthy of what God created them for. But you and I also need to realize, and we talked about this earlier in our series that we're doing on things that God wants to instruct us on, is that God wants to teach us to number our days. There is a specific number that is assigned to each one of us, and that number is different. It's all part of the plan of God. So we need to realize that we need to make the most out of the opportunities, make the most out of the days that God gives us, because we do not know how many of those days we have. I was in a conversation with a person one time, and they had just experienced tremendous loss. Someone that they loved had passed away. Now, the good news was that that person was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and had never been more on fire for God than they were in the latter years of their life. But this person, and the death, though not completely off of the radar, came quickly, and it really came when expectations of them dying were not at their highest. They, you know, just looked like they were sick. And all of a sudden, this person found themselves alone. And they said, "We never made plans for dying." Now, they had made spiritual plans, but they had not made financial plans. And so I know that it kind of sounds morbid, but I'm not sharing this with you to be a downer on a Tuesday. But people who have made Jesus the Lord of their life and heaven the goal of their eternity, death is not something that we shy away from. Later this week, I will be doing a funeral for a person who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and has been promoted into his presence. That's coming up. We are not people who go through those seasons as if we have no hope, because the Bible teaches us what we are getting ready to talk about next, and that is that death does not get the last word in our life. So I pray that you are preparing yourself and preparing those around you to be able to continue in their journey with Christ even after you're gone, should the coming of the Lord tarry. So I challenge the men of our church, make sure that your legal documents are in order. Make sure that your financial house is in order. Make sure that there is plenty of evidence of your faith in Jesus Christ to encourage your family to continue in their journey of faith. Make sure that your wife and your children to be taken care of should you be promoted into the presence of Jesus. So make sure in your living well that you prepare to enter the presence of Jesus well. Nobody likes to talk about this, and I'm getting ready to move on to the next part that makes this part a whole lot easier. But I've known people who got really, really excited as their time approached. Here a few years ago, there was a person who was promoted into the presence of Jesus, and one of the last things that happened to them was that in the room where they were at, all of a sudden, they saw the angels coming, and it wasn't long that they were ushered into the presence of the King. We have tremendous hope and tremendous expectation that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, why is it that we are able to talk about dying well? Well, it's because Jesus went on and taught them about his resurrection. He said, yeah, they're going to reject me. They're going to make me suffer. They are going to kill me. But 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. The resurrection of Jesus has been said by theologians who really don't believe in miracles too much, that it's the only thing that makes sense for the radical transformation that took place in the disciples, who went from a bunch of cowards to a bunch of bold messengers of faith that were willing to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Said the only thing that makes sense is that Jesus truly was raised from the dead. And the good news is that his resurrection sets the stage for our resurrection, that there is going to come a time. You can turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, and it says in verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So let me say this about Jesus teaching the disciples. He taught them. He was a great teacher. He said what he meant. He meant what he did. And yet the disciples, even though they heard him, you know, in my mind's eye, I can see them sitting there bobbing their head. Oh, okay, I got it. Then reality sets in and they said, I don't get it. I don't understand. It took the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send God the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to remind you, he's going to cause you to remember all the things that I said. You know what is interesting? The disciples didn't remember what Jesus had said about the resurrection, but the people who crucified him did. And they said, we need to go make his tomb secure, because if he's raised from the dead, if the disciples come and steal his body, then the problem's going to be worse than it is now. I want you to know the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a huge blessing to the kingdom of God. It's a blessing to the church. It's a blessing to you and me. It's a huge problem for the kingdom of darkness, because death is the enemy's final weapon. And if death has been rendered inoperable, rendered useless and powerless over a person's life, then there is no other weapon that the enemy is going to be able to utilize to intimidate you into not fulfilling the plan and purpose of God for your life. Because of the resurrection, we do not have to live in fear. We get to live in faith. We do not live as victims. We live victoriously. We do not live by deception. We live because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. But because of him, all believers will make their way into the presence of the Father. So, not a fun topic to talk about dying, but the resurrection causes us to realize death does not get the last word. The one who is the resurrection and the life gets the last word. And when he calls our name, it's not a punishment. My presbyter, he says this: you cannot threaten Christians with heaven. Heaven is our reward. It is the presence of Jesus. It's what we long for. So, one last lesson that Jesus teaches here in these couple of verses. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. By the way, I will tell you that that is never a good plan. That is setting you up. You don't get to rebuke God. You do not get to correct God. That is outside of your position of authority. It's outside of your jurisdiction. You are in error at that point in time. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, this is Jesus, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, it's also never a good thing when Jesus, the Son of God, the one who knows everything that we ask, think, or imagine, knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, when he says that you are being used by Satan at that point in time, that's never a good thing either. And I will tell you this, he's not mistaken, he's not wrong. He recognizes it, and he says the reason that he identifies the working of Satan in Peter at this moment in time is because, "For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And the lesson that Jesus teaches Peter at this moment is we have got to be attentive. We have got to think about the right things. Think about the plan of God, the word of God, the people of God. Do not allow your feelings to be elevated to the place that they are how you make decisions. Peter was like, I don't like this plan. I don't like the thought of my rabbi. I don't like the thought of him being of suffering. I don't like the thought of him being rejected. I don't like the thought of him being killed. I don't like anything about this plan. Nothing sounds good here to me. And Jesus said, you've got to quit thinking about the things of men, and you've got to remember to think about the things of God. Fill your mind with the things of God. When you fill your, see, that's mindful. Make sure your mind is full. When your mind is full of the things it is supposed to be full of, there will not be any room for you to think about the things you're not supposed to think of. It pushes the things of men out of the way, because all you are doing is thinking about the things of God. Jesus, when it came time, this was a lesson he was teaching them in advance of the action. But when the time for the action took place, it said that Jesus was rejected in a Samaritan village, and he set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. There was nothing or anyone that was going to prevent him from fulfilling everything that God had in store for him. I don't just want to fulfill some of the plans that God has for my life. I don't just want to fulfill most of the plans that God has for my life. I want to fulfill all of the plans that God has for my life, and I want that same thing for you. If you want to set yourself up as not needing correction from the teacher, not needing correction from Jesus, keep your mind full of the things of God. It will cause you to live well. It will cause you to be promoted into the presence of God well, and it will set you up to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. May the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, may he quicken your mortal body and my mortal body in Jesus' name. You have a fantastic day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning
in
today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.